You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
A union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me.
Good morning, members. Welcome to another edition of MUA Fire Up, Radical Radio, hosted by 3CR. You have Robert Lumsden and Aaron Moon here today, and we have apologies from both Dean and Dave, who are currently off at the moment, but just because they're off, the work doesn't stop. How are you going, Robert?
Very good, thanks, Aaron. I'll be interested to hear Dave's feedback on your introduction. Pinching his role again, but that's okay. I'm well, mate, and we hope all the members are well.
Well, mate, it's a low bar. While he's here, let's just bag him. It's a low bar, so he can't really bag me for my introduction, can he?
Fair enough. What do we want to open with? Do we want to talk about the ILA at all? What's going on over
there? Yeah, I think we should, mate. We should open with the ILA and give our members an update on what's happening internationally. So the ILA is the International Longshoremen's Association. They're the union that covers the entire East Coast of the United States of America. They're a strong fighting union and quite obviously a very powerful union. And over the last few days, or maybe a week ago now, I'm just trying to think. Yeah, about a week ago now, the ILA went out on strike for the first time since 1977.
Yeah, it's pretty pertinent. I mean, they haven't been on strike, as you said, for 47 years, and it's over the money. But it's also the pertinent point for us. It's around their ability to push back on automation, and that's the biggest thing that they're trying to achieve. They don't want automation. They say it's just an attack, and automation is not there for productivity. It is simply there to bust unions, and that's our view as well. I mean, you know, we've got a fully automated port here, VICT, who are lucky to do 22 boxes an hour. And I think the crane drivers in Melbourne...
The crane drivers push those machines to as fast as they can, our guys. They get the machines moving up to what they can. If you take away the MUA members, you're losing a quarter of that productivity out of there. So it's...
So what are you saying, that the automation is actually not efficient?
No, it's the opposite of efficient. And it costs jobs. It also costs the economy in productivity if it's utilised in its fullest. And turns out that machines can't make the judgment calls and do the little things that a crane driver does to speed the job up on a continuous basis, which means that boxes move faster. So it can't be about, well, I mean, if the measure of productivity is man hours to total outcome, maybe you can make an argument that way, but it certainly isn't better for the economy, and more things aren't getting in and more things aren't getting out just because of automation.
Yeah, and so as part of, we had National Council last week where, all the branches come together to discuss all things union, about the MUA in particular. But we had a delegation there. We had Ed Ferris from the ILWU. We had Rob Ashton from ILWU Canada. And we had a couple of the Munns guys, Ray Fife and Josh Greer. And when the ILA went out, we went down to MSC, who are a major contractor in the US, and protest at the front of their offices with some great speeches from, naturally, Paddy. Paddy spoke really well, and so those guys from those affected units. But it was just really interesting that the ILA have that ability to push back on automation, and rightly so. You know, one thing, we've had meetings that you and I have been in, Aaron, and we've said to those people, they don't spend money in the Victorian economy. When you bring automation to Melbourne, or when you bring automation to anywhere, they don't. The straddle drivers who drive at Patrick's and DP World spend their money in the Victorian economy. So we don't think it's the be-all, end-all, and neither does the ILA, and good on them for pushing back. And we saw the Port of Auckland. We saw what they did.
Yeah, they're currently putting – they're right now putting cabins onto straddles because because they've reversed the automation that they implemented there because they want the productivity, and they can see that by putting the cabins back on the straddle, they actually get a better result. And so there is a process now that's being rolled out for the last 18 months to be able to do that. So, and it's just great to see that it really demonstrates that when you push back against something that the boss is trying to implement, you can actually win. And the ILA is demonstrating that right now. The Port of Auckland has demonstrated that. Unfortunately, VLCT was built as a completely new terminal before there was any members, so it's a bit hard to have industrial leverage without workers. Without workers there, but I reckon that it's a good demonstration of what does happen if you attempt to fully automate. And anybody that would be looking to build a new terminal in Australia, or any of the employers that we deal with that would be thinking about upgrading their equipment to an automated sense, I think should look very closely at what happens there and understand that it's not the way forward, and it's not the way to increase productivity.
I mean, not that this has got entirely the same thing. It's just that a couple of weeks ago, a young bloke was killed in a warehouse on the outskirts of Melbourne. And it was because the machine, which was run by AI, mistook him for a box. It crushed him.
Oh, goodness me. I've missed that. Oh, my
goodness. No, I missed that as well. And that's horrid. I feel for his family and his workmates and his mates outside of work and everybody else involved. It really shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't happen because a boss is trying to cut corners and trying to take a person or a step out of a process. And that's what automation is. It's trying to take people out of processes that we control otherwise.
Yeah, so just a reminder to everyone, all of our members, to ensure your vigilance around safety on the job. And at the end of the day, you're there for the 8 hours, whatever time it might be. At the end of the day, the whole aim is to make sure you're going home, not to do the boss a favour and get a box out, you know, any quicker or whatever it might be. Just do your job and do it safely and make sure you're going home at the end of it. That's our aim. So from that report on the ILA and the automation, do we go to our first song, which is...
Yeah, we probably should, mate. Do you want to introduce it?
I do, and it's from Algiers, Walk Like a Panther. If you Google the lyrics and the story behind it, it's actually quite interesting. So that's why that was chosen.
But there's another reason for why it was chosen. You guys are globetrotting again.
Oh, well, sorry. I thought you were going to do a shout-out to our comrade up in Port Kembla, Robbie Patterson, one of the alternate deputy branch secretaries there, who was a massive Penrith Panthers fan, and they just won a grand final. So I wasn't sure which angle you were going to go with that, Robbie.
Well, I thought it all blended in. But the words are quite interesting, the history behind it. So that's where that comes from.
Welcome back. Thanks for that song again, and thanks to Robbie for dedicating it to Robert Patterson.
I suppose it's a good segue into the ITF Congress and to explain what's going on there, Aaron. We're off to Paddy is up for re-election for the ITF. He's been the president of the ITF since 2010, I think, and he's up for re-election now. So the ITF Congress is being held in Marrakesh,
in Morocco,
and so Paddy's, as I said, he's up for re-election. The numbers look like stacking up at the moment that he will be re-elected, but it's never done until it's done, and so we certainly wish him all the best. It's his leadership has been extraordinary, and we certainly are encouraging member countries from around the member unions from around the world to ensure their vote goes towards the great P. Crumlin.
Yes.
Has he got a competition? Is there a competition for his role?
Yeah, there is. There's another person running against him coming out of Europe. So it'll be a tight race, undoubtedly. Most elections are. The important thing is that over the 14 years that Paddy's been president of the ITF, the focus of the organisation has shifted somewhat, and it's turned into a really good vehicle to be able to support international seafarers, particularly whilst they're often heavily exploited. The ones without ITF agreements are in a far worse position. So they've taken a really good organising approach to organising internationally. And we've reported on this show before the great work that the Inspectorate does, particularly here in Australia, but also globally. And then across other sections as well. I think the ITF has grown significantly and across other sections of transport, but in the bubble of maritime, certainly we know that dockers in Indonesia and dockers in Karachi, dockers in India particularly right now, are facing a fairly horrific struggle, and they're all heavily supported by the ITF. And we have ex-officials of the MUA actually working for the ITF as well that are over in India and up in the Solomon Islands, supporting dock workers, setting up new unions, and allowing them to be able to fight for some justice, some dignity, and some basic health and safety rights at work. And we should have probably touched on the Indian dockers that are facing having their housing all destroyed now. So they have a housing establishment next to or close to where the port is. And right now you've got multinational companies rolling over the top of their houses, destroying where they live just to be able to build on the land, because it's all a public-private ownership kind of model, and it's just been ripped apart. And we've got Macca up there now trying to – he's been talking to them, working with them, helping fight back against what is just blatant corporate greed, and it's displacing hundreds or thousands of dock workers up in India. So a solidarity
goes. Paddy has moved that from a very bureaucratic a bureaucracy, really, the ITF, into a much more hands-on, much more involved union. It's certainly under his leadership, it's certainly moved in that direction.
Well, one of the things about being in Australia, of course, is that it's got a focus on Asia as well, right? And maybe if you're from Europe, you're less aware, right?
The Asia-Pacific region, which is the region that Australia fits into in the way the ITF carves up the regions, is the biggest and also the fastest-growing region of trade unionism globally in the transport sector. So we'd like to see, and I mean, we're obviously back on Paddy because he's our guy, but it's not just because of that. But you're right, there's a flavour within the ITF that doesn't need to be Eurocentric, and bringing somebody from Australia and the Asia Pacific region opens that door to allow in a different type of unionism and
I suppose it's a good idea for us, which it is, and it's a good idea to us we're talking to the ITF too. Mentioned Matty Purcell has been back on deck, you know, after his hiccup last year. A bit more than a hiccup, I suppose, really. But he's been back at work and doing a great job again. And it's also a great segue to thank the volunteers that assist him every day going up the gangway, getting the reports back to him, and him being able to do his job as thorough as it's ever been done. So well done, Matty, and to all the to all the volunteers. I'm not going to mention one, because as soon as I mention one, I'll forget one. And then the phone will be going, oh, yeah, you left me out.
So, they've done an amazing work. The Australian Inspectorate alone has returned 15 million, yeah, 15 million this year for international seafarers. These are people who are paid $1,200 to $1,500 a month, US a month, routinely. So you can see that's what somebody's wage is per month, and somehow the bosses are still able to steal 15 million off of those workers. And that's they're the ones we've caught. The limited number of volunteers and inspectors that we have caught, it's far, far worse than that. And the Global Inspectorate brings home tens of millions of dollars for seafarers every year.
And of course, and it's more locally, and more locally, we've got the biggest dispute around the country is the Cube dispute. We're now at action in five ports around the country, from Darwin all around the East Coast to Adelaide, including Port Kembla, Brisbane and Melbourne. Obviously, we're moving into week 9 of action.
They are being as belligerent as ever, and not meeting with us. They met with us for a couple of days in Port Kembla. Then on the third day of the meeting, they said, unless you remove these two claims, we're not going to talk about any other claims. And so that we just, you know, so that's has hit a hurdle, but there are more meetings mooted for next week. We'll see what their attitude is then. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to do a deal. They just, the way they treat their membership and the propaganda that goes out, it's extraordinary. And honestly, you think you read some of it, you think it's been written by a kid in primary school. It's pathetic. And we will just continue to whack them with protected action and hope like hell that some common sense does prevail at some stage and they actually get back to the table and negotiate. They're suing 20 of our members, which is just shows you the low bar that they will go to try and wedge their own employees against the union to try and do an inferior deal. But it just won't be happening because the membership are riding behind their delegates, riding behind the union, and they're sick of the management. They're sick of being treated as poorly as they are around the longevity of the shifts, around the allocation times and all that. And it's different around different ports. So each port has a different challenge, but it will get there eventually like we always do. But right now it is a massive struggle. And unfortunately the action will have to continue and if not ramp up because...
Another good segue, speaking about belligerence. DP Wells just been through everything you've talked about with the action and still the management local here absolutely trying it on. They're not working with the guys. They're pinning people for the smallest infractions. They're really taking a hardline approach to honestly everything. They're breaching the EA around simple things like break times and the manning and how you man a job. So there's something's gonna break there. And despite the fact we're able to recently settle a bunch of legal cases, I envision a few more on the horizon because members down there are at their wits' end with the way they're being treated by their managers locally. So
yeah, and we've spoken to them, Aaron. I did a visit with you earlier this week, and you know, to try and let the guys know that we're doing our best, but just got to make sure you continue to do your job safely and do it to the SWIs, because if you're breaking an SWI to try and get a box to a truck quicker or whatever it might be, and something happens, they're probably going to punch you.
And we just need to make sure that we're working to the EA, and we'll make sure the company is working to the EA on their end as well. So that's what we'll do both on the job and in the courts if we need to. So the other I guess negotiation that's underway while we're on the terminals is VICT. So we've had a couple of meetings with them by now, and this will nicely link back to our previous discussion on automation, because VICT is the most automated terminal, and despite it having the highest automation, it also has the highest weekly working hours, being 42 hours per week on average, well above the industry of 35. And we're in discussions with them, but they've rejected a roster that brings us back down closer to the industry. So the negotiations have taken a little hurdle there, and but we'll continue on. And we had one cancelled this week, but we'll do another one. Cancelled by the company this week, but we'll do one another meeting Monday someday next week, and then we will also try to look. We're looking to try and block in a couple of full days to get through negotiations and really get them underway. We've still got a bit of time before expiry, so we're in a fortunate position there. But we'd like to get the ball rolling and get the momentum happening for our members down there to see a new agreement.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show quite quickly. And we haven't really got through a lot, but thanks very much, members, for listening. Thanks, Annie, for your, as usual, great assistance and insights. And Moon, you're going to have to work on your intro, mate. I think it was awful. I'm just saying. I don't think it was great. You've got a little bit of work to do.
Members, have a great day. We're going out. You're not going to get the right reply. We're going out with you. Can't always get what you want by the Rolling Stones. Have a great day, members. Ah, he's gone. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie. See you, comrade. Bye.
was practiced at the art of deception. Well, I could tell by her bloodstained hands.
You can't always get what you want.
No.
You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want.
But if you try sometime, it just might find.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.